Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Lowry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Frank Film Club. This week we are talking about the new film Naiad. It's based on the book by Diana Nyad called Find a Way and directed by Jimmy Chin and Chai Vassarelli. It's the remarkable true story of the athlete Diana Nyad, who at the age of 60 and with the help of her best friend and coach, Bonnie, commits to achieving her lifelong dream of swimming from Cuba to Florida, which is crazy. The film stars Annette Bening, Jodie Foster and Rhys Ivans, and it's available to watch on Netflix. In this episode, we're going to be talking about what we think about the film, the truth behind the film and the controversy behind the whole thing. Yeah.
Love that.
Female friendships, sport films and the critical response that this has received. So stay tuned for that. But first of all, how are you both doing?
So good. What have I been up to? I have been baking gingerbread men.
Oh, why?
Yeah. Well, I just had a hankering.
Interesting.
And it feels weird to have like just gingerbread not in the shape of men, you know, or people. Like, I'm not just going to make circles of gingerbread. It's strange. So I got my little...
like ginger nut biscuits, but not as fun.
You're right.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that. And
lovely.
I haven't been decorating them, though. I'll only do that at Christmas with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gosh, we didn't do that this year.
I know, we missed it.
It's a bit of a tradition of ours that we've done once. To make gingerbread people at Christmas. And we said, let's do this every year. And we didn't
do it
last year.
No, we didn't.
Gosh. You did it solo.
Exactly, I'm doing it.
And
now.
Late, you were really desperate for that tradition to live.
Making up for it.
I felt like I couldn't move on with my year
until that was done. But now,
and are you gonna now pull them out from the table underneath a handkerchief and say, "Here they are"?
That would have been so good.
Yeah. Oh, damn. How are you, Han?
I'm good. I'm gonna be real. My hair's falling out.
No,
my hair's. So I've been spending all week trying to like find a remedy. Postpartum, loads of things happen, obviously.
Whoa.
And my hair's proper falling out. Like there is hair everywhere in my house, everywhere. And Warren told me this really scary thing the other day. He said, I don't know if he was making this up, but he said, because babies grow so quickly, you have to be careful to make sure that they haven't ever got a hair stuck around their finger because they can end up having their, like, cutting off the circulation to their toe or something.
Oh.
So I've been checking in between because my hair is falling out. So if anybody else is going through postpartum hair loss, I feel you. My hair is like a ponytail of three strands at the moment. And I've just been trying to like oil my hair.
Yeah. What is it that people do? Like rosemary spray?
Yeah. Rosemary oil. Yeah. Massaging that in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is part of the cycle. Process. And I feel like... it's not something that I've heard a lot of people talk about. So, but I'm sure
thanks
your
for
hair, will,
it.
Yeah, thanks, and I'm sure it will come back.
Yeah,
and in the meantime, I'm sure Teddy's just like in a winter wonderland of your hair, little tail going, and the hair's like,
he's like placing it on his head.
He's like, Mum, it's not a phase.
So that's what I've been up to. What about you?
That. I have been, you know what? I've been swimming quite a bit because I felt very inspired by this because I do go swimming anyway, but
outside.
Well, actually, I haven't been swimming outside for a while with your mum.
Yeah.
But I have been at the Leisure Centre because I do love to go swimming there. And I'd kind of fallen out of the habit. And then after watching this, I was suddenly like, oh, yeah, it really inspired me.
Yeah, that's
so
really
I've been
good.
Back in the pool. Yeah.
That's fab. Thrilled for you.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Okay, so I watched this film actually over Christmas, so a little while back now, yeah, with my family, and I'm going to start off by saying I really enjoyed it. And I know, and I thought, I don't actually know if everyone will enjoy this, but that's why, and that's why I wanted to bring it to Film Club,
yeah,
because I think it has had quite mixed reviews. And I don't know if you both will like it or not. So, Spill, what were your first thoughts?
This wasn't originally on our plan for Film Club. And when you said to have a look at it, when you watch it with your family, I was like, oh, okay, well, this makes sense, because I know that you do open water swimming with Maisie's mum.
Shout out, Higgy.
And I thought that, oh, maybe this story is told in a tone that is interesting to Lowry, and so therefore I will find it interesting as well. I have really mixed feelings about this film. I kind of hate that I have the feelings that I hate, to be honest. But I think that it's the way that the story is told, which sort of like excludes me a little bit in my enjoyment. I love everything about what it is about. And I love everything about the characters individually. But I think there's a lot about the way that the story's packaged in this way for this film. And some of the less redeeming qualities of the lead that I, it didn't make it like the enjoyable watch that I wanted it to be.
Mm.
Cool. I had thought that you wouldn't like it. So
you were correct. No, I didn't not but like it. I just, yeah.
I'm excited to chat more. Okay.
That's why you chose it. You're like, she's going to hate it.
Yeah. Nice.
So I actually wasn't going to say this, but now I just feel like I'm going to be completely honest. So I watched this with my mum, who open water swims with you. And she's like, you have to watch this movie. It's the best. And it was right after I got back from a trip and I was really jet lagged. And I watched the first, I'd say 40 minutes, and then napped on her lap on the sofa, then woke up for the final 40 minutes or like hour or something. And just like sobbed crying at the end and was like, oh my God, I can't wait to watch this like film properly. But just knew it meant so much to my mum. And it just really felt like a nostalgic moment for the two of us. My mum has shown me so many amazing movies like throughout my childhood that are still like my favourite films now. We've also watched a lot of Jodie Foster movies, so it felt like so amazing to watch her grown up. And just like as soon as she first came on screen, we were both like, God, her arms are amazing, aren't they?
Like, ripped.
Yeah, like properly ripped. And it's just like the coolest. And then sat down this weekend and watched it properly start to finish. And I think it's something that I can't wait to hear more of your opinions on this movie, because I think that I have such a like a nostalgic feeling about this film already, that I'm not going to be putting it in this. I'm not going to be like looking at it with the same critical lens as I would like basically every other film we've spoken about on this series, just because I love how much my mom loves it as well. Like her watching a film about 60-year-old women, I just was like, it's so rare. I'm always like, mom, you got to watch this movie. And I just think like whenever she tells me to watch a movie, it's always a woman that is like of a similar age to her. And I'm always like, it's just important stories like this. And my mum always goes on adventures. Sorry, I'm going to go on and on and on. But my mum has done like a lot of like real endurance things in her life. And I think like she's always toying like, have I done my final one or will I do another kind of thing? And yeah, so I love it for that reason, you know, rather than like the filmmaking. Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad that you did enjoy it. Yeah, that's great. But I
imagine we both hated it.
Yeah, but I'd be like, but this and this. No, this is good. This is great. So I'm going to like say to start with that I agree that it's not like the most visually amazing film. The very first part, I thought actually they could have hurried that up quite a bit and they could have just got straight to the point a bit quicker.
Agree.
Like I can see its flaws and I think we should discuss them all in depth. But I just also loved it because I felt so inspired and so excited to see a film about a female friendship at that age as well, because I feel like we've never seen that before. And also the fact that there's not really, well, there's John in the film, but other than that, like, neither of them have partners, mm-hmm. and they especially don't have male partners because they're both gay in the film. I don't actually know if that's true in real life, but and I just love that it was such a fresh relationship to see on screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, love that.
But do you the same as Maze? Like, was your view and experience, did it feel different because you watched it with your family and they are of an older generation and there was that connection there as well? Like, what was it about it for you that you loved?
I think I loved that, and I loved that my family all loved it. Mm. But I also really, I love watching sport documentaries, because I love going up mountains and going swimming and doing like being outside and doing sports. So, and I love on a Sunday watching these types of films and being like, oh yeah, I want to go out in the van and do these things. So it's just like, it's so like my type of film.
Would you say it's almost like, it's like guilty pleasure, kind of?
I'm not even guilty.
No, I can't. But you don't need
to be. I guess it is though. In the
movie side of our life, it's not the one that I'm like, oh yeah, and did you see Nyad? Like, of course.
Yeah.
You know, but
that's true.
Amongst my friends, I'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah.
That's what this film club is about though.
Yeah.
Like our real opinions versus like pretending to be like, you know, highbrow about things that we like don't really, not really too fussed by.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like also like really understanding our taste, because maybe, you know, if you're really drawn to films which are about sports, but you can see the flaws in this, and you're really drawn to stories that are about, you know, older women and like striving to go on an adventure or something, then maybe there's a lens that you can tell it, which is more, you know, has less flaws in your eyes than what this film does.
That's what we will do in our careers.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why we're here.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll give you a little bit of information about the filmmakers behind this film, which I think might explain a lot for you. So... So Julia Cox was the writer. I think I'm pretty sure this was her first feature film that she's written.
Oh wow!
So that was incredible. Okay. I think that's
big budget.
Fair play. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The directors Jimmy Chin and Chai Vassarelli, who are a married couple,
yay,
by the way. Their background is in sports documentaries, so they did Free Solo.
Oh. And okay, I saw that.
Meru.
Didn't see
which
that.
I actually haven't seen, but then have done like Jimmy Chin has done like a whole series of like loads of extreme sports.
Is this their first narrative?
So this is their first narrative, like fiction.
How
feature.
Have they got onto this when they've not done anything fiction before?
Because they've done so well in the documentary space,
and this is not a documentary, but you know the way that it's shot is going to be very complicated, in the way that Jimmy Chin shines at. Whenever you're watching a documentary and you think, if this is how complicated it is for the person we're watching, what's the camera operator rated? What's the camera? It's Jimmy Chin. He's amazing. He's like got some of the most iconic shots that we've ever seen in like documentary filmmaking. He's like the guy. Yeah.
But what about working with actors?
Mm.
So I think that was something that both of the directors, both Jimmy and Chai, struggled with at first, because it's a huge film for their first fiction feature. And so their first day on set, they said there was 450 people on set.
Oh my God.
And they're working they're in a tank. They've got a tank that has four blue screens. And then what the other side, the fourth screen, is a infinity pool that looks out into the ocean. Mm. And they've got a boat. They're on like a platform next to the boat. Like, it's really like intense, like technical stuff going on. So the actors are all on the boat doing a take. They finish the take. And then Jimmy and Chai get told, we don't have time for you to go over to get over to the boat, give them the notes and come back. So they had to be shouting their note over like a megaphone.
Oh my God, that's so intimidating.
In front of all these people. And this is their first time ever directing anybody. And they have said that it was really hard, because they were just like, oh my, like they didn't, they're learning. And they're doing it in front of people who probably do this all of the time and have done this so many times and seen so many directors.
And isn't the point that, like, usually when Jimmy's making a movie, it's literally just him, like, and the subject kind of thing?
Yeah, well, sometimes...
Because they're in really remote places, so it's, like, it's very, like, minimalist. Well, I'm just thinking of Meru. I'm really just channeling that one at the moment, right, which is, like, one of the hardest climbs, you know, that people have ever done. And, yeah... So the thought of then it just being this insane circus, that's so interesting.
God, yeah, that is so intimidating.
So and I think they did struggle with that.
Yeah, and I bet that, like, more experienced people around them would have, like, squashed them a bit. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Even the fact that someone said to them, you don't have time to go over, like, that's the sort of thing that they say to, like, an actor, like, you don't have time to go to the bathroom. But, like, you don't tell the director that they can't go over and give notes to the actors. Like,
yeah,
that's,
their,
like,
set.
Not
they do
okay. What, yeah, that's their set.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm. The thing is, as well, if you're in that situation, maybe you don't know to say, no, this is what I need to do for my process, because you can't be confident in what your process is because you've never done it before.
Yeah.
So how did they work with the actors then? Did they have lots of rehearsal, or did they make, like, something before, like, even if it was just, like, a few short scenes? Or
I actually don't know, and I wish
also,
I had the
answer.
Why
did they start on that day? Start on one of the smaller days in the house.
I don't know.
Oh, but this was, was this made by Netflix?
Yes. So they, well, it was made, produced by Black Bear.
Love.
But Netflix were on it before it went into production. So yeah, it was made by them. So it was already huge. I actually couldn't find the budget though anywhere, but given all of that I've just said, it's going to have been a high budget. Yeah.
God, this is so interesting.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about this film, by the way, going into this conversation and also going into the film apart from just a little bit. So you had said, and I can, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Why it feels the way that it does based on that.
Yeah. Any parts, because when I watched the first bit, had a nap, watched the second bit, when the titles came up and it said Jimmy Chin, then I sort of reflected on all of the parts of the first 40 minutes that I was like, oh, not sure about, because I had cried at the end, so great. And thought, okay, actually, I feel like I can be so much more forgiving of all of those things because, like, I get it and I will defend Jimmy Chin and Jodie Foster until the day I die.
Well, yeah. So will I now.
Yeah.
Right.
Just and Chai, like, Vassarelli.
Yeah, just like great people. Yeah. Mm.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So, I want to tell you about the controversy.
Yeah.
Ooh. Behind all of this. And, like, did you know? Did you know that there was any kind of...
No.
Okay.
I don't know anything.
Okay, great.
The only thing is that, like, you know, it's a very dangerous thing for her to be doing.
Right.
And yeah, but, you know, it's just like the fallout that happens in the film, but that's not really controversy.
No. Okay, cool. So this, everything in this film happens and happened in real life. And then afterwards, there has been a lot of debate on whether or not this swim is, like, certified as a unassisted, legit swim that happened. There's been a lot of debate on whether or not Nayad had help during the swim. And because there wasn't enough evidence for Why are you laughing?
I just think it's funny. It's like, this is such an epic adventure tale, and it's like, she didn't even do it.
It's so mean.
Is it? But okay, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, then get on your boat and follow her. Yeah. Like, yeah. What do you want? She can't go back and redo it.
So yeah, so she did it, and then basically the organizations, well, I think it went into the Guinness Book of World Records, and then it got removed because they were like, we actually can't verify whether this was fully legit or not, which is so heartbreaking.
Wait, how do they normally verify it then?
So usually I think they'd have like an administrator on the boat, or they would be really, really, they'd be making reports throughout and making sure that there's just like no one touches her. She doesn't touch the boat. Well, I think that was the main thing, actually, that she doesn't touch the boat. And she,
why are you laughing? Sorry, I'm just thinking about Finding Nemo, where he's like,
I'm going to touch the bird.
Touch the bird. Sorry, carry on.
So, it's mainly about whether or not she touched the boat, like in Finding Nemo, or if anyone touched her and like could have potentially helped her. Because when they looked at all the reports of everything that happened, they realized that when she was swimming, there were certain moments where she must have increased her speed so much that like people started to question, like, how did she do that? But what the team have said and what Nayad has said since is that they were just really lucky in that there were currents and the winds were going that way and it pushed her along, and that's how her speed like doubled at times.
Wow.
But there's not enough evidence to prove that that is what happened. So that's where it's all become really unsure.
Yeah. I just think that in this situation, like, this has been her lifelong dream. If she had not fully completed it and she had cheated, then she will carry that with her for the rest of her life and always feel like so horrendous and like, yeah, she'll carry that with her forever, and it'll be like, yeah, it would be so disappointing, more disappointing than if she just not tried it at all. Mm-hmm. And like surely that's just enough. Like, people don't have to then be like, have to prove that she didn't do it. Like, if she didn't, then like that's her problem, and like, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But like, why would you take her thunder like that?
Yeah.
Just because like you weren't there. Mm.
What is she doing it for? Is she doing it in order to go into the Guinness Book of World Records? No. Because otherwise she'd have an administrator on the boat with her.
Yeah, I think that's like a big shame about it, is that I think that's where it's gone wrong, is because she didn't have all of those people in place, because she just like was like, this is the thing I want
to
do.
Right, she didn't have a lot of funding. People were like, there's no way we're funding you to do this. Yeah. Like, this is like insane.
Yeah.
And like, then there's a sprightly young one that's about to like give it a whirl, you know, and everyone's like, oh my God, because we can like put her with, you know, all of these brands and, you know, she'll sell because whatever. But like, this wasn't the same case for Nayad.
No.
Damn.
Yeah, it's such a shame.
So what is the final line on that then?
There's no final line. Well, actually, no, the final line is that there's a few different like associations or organizations that have their own opinions on this. But, and I think at the time, that's also part of the problem, is that they didn't have these rules in place at the time.
Yeah.
And that more and more rules have come into place to now kind of like unpick it all. So there's certain, the main organizations say that they can't certify it as an unassisted swim, but they will certify it as an assisted swim. And I think Nayad has now just been like, well, fine. Like,
I know the truth.
Yeah.
But then, so it's just still like loads of really mixed opinions. But there was a report that went through and they were like, we just can't actually certify this for what you want it to be, which is such a shame.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means though?
What?
Nayad 2. The fight for authentication.
So true. Oh my God, that would kill her.
Yeah.
Or Jesus.
Yeah, Bonnie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bonnie. But yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah,
hate that.
Really horrible.
And literally, like, find something else to do, guys. Sorry, but hate that.
And you know what you're going to hate even more?
No.
Is that when I was researching this whole thing, there's a website called Nayad Fact Check, which is run by a man who's basically trying to just pull her down. And it's like, she's a liar, she's this. And he's like, put so much time and energy into this website. And it's like, get a hobby.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that is his hobby. It's so sad.
It's so sad. Like, even, okay, maybe if she did lie, then okay, but...
Again, like, she can live with that for the rest of her life. Yeah. Like, what is it doing, you doing that?
Yeah.
That's what I think. I just think it's so pointless. Yeah. Discussions like that. Just think, like, you've got to move on with your life, babe.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really
and
sad.
I love that she's just gone, all right, you don't have to accept it, fine. That literally proves her innocence, I think.
Yeah.
Because, like, otherwise you would be desperate to prove that everyone, you know, you prove that you're not lying. Yeah. But if you just know in your heart that you're not, then you're just like, all right, like, yeah. I know I did it and I'm happy.
Yeah.
Ugh. I do also sort of really like the thought of them going a bit rogue because they couldn't do it in the first three attempts. So she turns everybody into, like, this, how are we going to, like, fake it? That is quite an interesting story arc. So maybe they should have put that in the film.
Jimmy Chin should have sided with the others and told, like, a fictional retelling for dramatic effect. Inspired by true events.
That's what makes me think that she couldn't have lied, because I just don't imagine that the whole team of people would have been like, oh yeah, we'll be in on the lie as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Even in the film, we see that Diana Nyad is, like, such an over-exaggerator and, like, does kind of, like, surely does tell little lies.
Mm.
And apparently that is how she is in real life. She just over-exaggerates everything. She loves to talk about herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's the centre of attention.
Mm. I love it, though.
Yeah. I just don't think that whole team of people would also get behind her lies, especially Bonnie, who... Yeah. Who already calls her out.
Like, love hates her.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, it's so true. Mm.
So that was something that the filmmakers decided to not include. They were like, it's not a film about whether she did it or she didn't. It's a film about how she got to that point and did it. And like a woman who woke up at 60 and was like, I've still got something I need to do.
Yeah.
Which I love.
I love.
Me too.
Obviously, because it's based on a true story, we talk a lot about films that are from truth turned into actual films. This is based on Nyad's book, and Annette and Jodie are now really good friends with the actual Bonnie and Nyad.
I saw the picture at the end. Yeah. So nice.
Yeah, so they like hung out together loads before they did this. Nyad even trained Annette in some of her swimming before the film.
I actually think my mum did say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just like good friends.
Love that.
So I just love that, and that they have, it's they've worked with the people whose story it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
ethical, like, yeah, ethics wise.
Think about what we were talking about with May December, where they were just completely cut out. Well, he was just completely cut out of the process. That's so lovely. Mm. I will say, from the the images of the real Nyad and Bonnie, it's really well cast.
Oh my God, it's well
really
cast.
Close.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think of the performances?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I am. I think Annette Bening is deserving of a nomination for this. I do think that Jodie Foster is deserving of all nominations always. I absolutely love Jodie Foster, but I just don't see it in this role.
Really?
No, I don't know. What do you think?
I actually loved... I don't know if I just loved her character.
I loved her character, but I don't know if it was the performance that would be Oscar-worthy for me.
No, I... Okay. Maybe not Oscar-worthy. I don't know. It's hard to say what is Oscar-worthy, but I just loved her as a friend. Like, I just... No, I've got to disagree with you. I did really love her in this.
Mm. I loved her in this. I feel like, I don't know what conclusion we've even drawn on this discussion around the Oscars, but like, you know how it's somewhat political or whatever? It's like she's sort of Oscar royalty, you know, acting royalty. And so it gets to the point where you're just like, and maybe I'm perpetuating that by being like, it's Jodie Foster. And I'm not looking at it critically at all. And I won't start now.
End.
But yeah, I do hear what you're saying. Mm. I do. This was the sort of thing that I had at the beginning, like what I was saying earlier. And then I thought, is it directing? Is it like, what's this flow between the two of them? What is the shorthand? Like, I had sort of moments of that, but then I just, yeah, I don't know. And watch, I just got lost in it, and I wasn't taken out of it again by her. And so I felt like, yeah, enjoy. I just, yeah. Enjoy her performances always.
Yeah. I just fucking love her glasses in this.
Sponsored by Ray-Ban for sure.
Yeah. Oh my God, you need to get a pair of those.
No, I have. I did. You got them. After the film. Me and Ron went to an outdoor shop the next weekend and we got our sports gear. And we're like, let's go up a mountain. And we did. We went to Snowdonia. It really inspired me, if I didn't mention already. Yeah.
This is really cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll be like that one day?
I hope so. This is the thing. I'm like, I just want to be Jodie Foster in this film.
Oh, I thought that you'd be the one swimming. Well, I don't want to swim.
I don't want to be her. I'll swim, but I don't want to be like Annette Bening's character.
You don't have to.
No. Yeah. You can be that.
Yeah, I'll be that.
Well, swap the roles. Yeah. Swap the personalities, but you'll be doing
exactly. Yeah. You'll be swimming, and I'll be with the news cameras being like, it's so amazing what she's doing, and I trained her.
I really can't take all of the reward, but I really, really can. Does that make me Reese Evans?
Yes. You're driving the boat.
What did you think of him in this character?
I really like seeing him in commercial films. I like seeing him do a lot of different things. I think he can do a lot of different things. I just don't think the performances were it for me. I think that it was too commercialized and cheesy. Yeah. And even though there was depth there, I don't know if I like fully believed it, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Fair enough.
What do you think of Reese Simmons in this?
I really liked him.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was great casting too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, I thought he was good in this role. Yeah. So funny that, yeah, no, I genuinely really loved all the performances in this. Maybe I've got bad taste.
No, you don't. And also his taste. So it's like, it's subjective. But yeah, I just think overall, a film like this would not get me for the performances because it's not my type of performance.
Well, what did you think of the relationship then? Like, did you feel excited by that at all? Or yeah, did the performances just ruin it?
Massively. And that's what I said at the beginning. Like, that's what I mean. I felt really disappointed in myself that I couldn't be a bigger fan of this because of what it's, you know, showing. And I think it's so important that we see female friendships that are like this, and also older women who are flawed and complicated and ambitious and successful and alone, and that's fine. I think there's so much to the characters that I find so interesting, but it's just not told in the way that I like to watch.
Yeah, fair
but
enough.
But that's great, just because you have acknowledgement that these are things that need to be seen more, it doesn't actually mean that when you're showing them, you have to like it. Mm. Like, because it's not for those reasons, it's because you don't love the movie. And like, I think that's really more progressive than being like, this is a film for me and I'm going to defend it till the day I die, even if I don't think it's a great movie. Because that doesn't really get us anywhere.
I've just realised also what it is about the performances. I think the flashback sequences were really poor.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. Yeah,
and I've got to agree with you then there. Like adds to the whole, and even the way that those are shot. I think that it's really hard to cast a role like that with the well, both of them, but with the coach particularly when it's such a small role for it to be that. It's really hard, and I think that really didn't help the overall feel of the performances in the film.
I'm really glad that you brought that bit up because I think I've kind of blanked that bit out of my memory because I kind of didn't want to remember that bit because I thought it was chucked in there and really like...
Really random.
Really random. It didn't get... It didn't bring anything to the story. It was just because they didn't go into it enough.
Yeah, it was so on the news.
I would have preferred to have seen... This would have... I've got the answer. I would have preferred to have seen a really emotional scene between Bonnie and Diane... discussing that so that you could really see just that extra hair of a connection between those two characters, which was definitely in there. I'm not saying it wasn't in there, but I think it would have helped a little bit more to humanize her telling that story, or like, you don't need to be telling it completely, but just that to be the way that they've told that part of a character.
No, I think that's a really fair point.
I'd love to know, like, on Netflix, how well a film like this does. You know, how their audience have, they've taken it.
Well, that's something that I found actually quite frustrating with this. Like I said, I couldn't find the budget, and I think that's because it was maybe because it was Netflix. Would that be why? Anyway, I couldn't find the budget, and I also in the box office, it's really really low because I think it was only out for like a day or like not very long at all, just to be, and then it came off, went in onto streamers, and probably was only released so that it could go to the Oscars. So box office figures were really really low because it was hardly there.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
We don't know with the Netflix films.
Yeah. But it's had really mixed reviews from the things that I've found. First of all, it premiered at Telluride Festival, which is like pretty impressive. And then went to TIFF as well, Toronto.
Oh, okay.
So it did really well at festivals. But yeah, responses online are really mixed. When I looked on Letterboxd, everyone seems to be like slaying it. Slating it.
Younger audience though.
Younger audience. Ugh. Yeah. But Rotten Tomatoes are like, yeah, like quite pleased. Mm. And then obviously it's the two performances, but Annette and Jodie have both been nominated for Oscars. So it's a really mixed bag. Yeah. Okay, so some of the Letterboxd reviews. Eddie the Plankton gave it 2 stars and said, "This is probably the mummiest mum movie that ever be mummed that will be loved by every mum ever." And that kind of made me feel really sad because am I a mum?
But also, what is the problem
Nothing
in
wrong
that?
With that?
What is the problem in that? We're not going, oh, this is the boyest boy film that's ever been liked by the boys in their whole. Like, what's the problem with that?
That's true.
What is wrong with that?
Who are we making films for? Like, why? Yeah.
Why is that an issue?
Also, like, a lot of the world are mums. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I don't like it. Cause
you're rejecting being a mum.
Mm. Oh my God, dark.
But that's funny that, yeah, I read that and I felt sad, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
I love mums.
Yeah.
But you just know that that's
a bad thing.
That's the thing. You know that they're saying it's negative. Yeah.
If they'd given it 5 stars and said the same thing, then maybe we'd be like, yeah, mums.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that they've made it a negative.
Yeah.
Shut up, Plankton.
Yeah, that is not how you form a good joke.
Okay. Thomas Flight also gave it 2 stars and said, "Literal inspirational poster held on the wall by the sheer force of 2 great performances straining through a film that's not nearly as good as what they deserve."
I mean, it's not the first time and it certainly won't be the last, but it happened.
Yeah. I think
that's so harsh.
It is quite harsh, but I like also kind of know what they mean, even though I loved it.
Yeah.
Neil said, "What's unexpected is that the best scenes are on dry land." So I thought that was really nice.
Shut up, Neil.
Do you not think that was nice?
Yeah, no, that's just so funny because most of the movie is not on dry land, so it feels kind of backhanded too.
That's a bit of shade, really.
Yeah, well, the word go, she's in the water. So.
He's like, some of the best films were in Tesco supermarket because there wasn't any.
No, but it's because that's when they can talk. Although they do have a really good chat when she's in the water at one point. Anyway, I thought it was a nice thing.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Max Wise gave it 3 out of 4, saying, "Mostly it's a film about female friendship, about a friend who will love you at your best and your worst, and who will truly bask in your triumphs." And I thought, yes, that is true. And I love that. Next, for the filmmakers and actors, Annette Bening is going to be in the next Maggie Gyllenhaal film.
Oh.
Which I don't know what
They've
it's called.
They've just shot it. Oh, it's in post now.
Frankenstein.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, maybe it's not the next one, but because I saw that it was in pre-production, so maybe this is a different one. With Jesse Buckley and Christian Bale.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Excusez moi.
Mm.
Wow.
Oh, no, wait. No, wait. Sorry, it is in pre-production. I availability check Maggie Gyllenhaal for something in August. She's not free. She's in post for a film. But that makes sense because she will have just come off film. Anyway, whatever.
I see. Yeah. Cool. So, yeah. Feel like that's going to be a fun collaboration. Jodie Foster, I couldn't see what she'll be acting in next, but it looks like she's doing a load of her own projects as a director and producer, which I'm very excited about. Yeah. So that's really cool.
If anyone from Jodie's team is watching, I will audition as many times as you want me to be in one of those movies.
Please. That would be very cool.
Very cool.
Jimmy Chin and Chai, I believe, are doing more sports documentaries, but I don't know what about any more fictions at the moment. Mm. So we will wait and see. But I hope so. I think this is such an amazing first feature, fiction feature.
Yeah.
For them. Yeah. Hannah doesn't agree, but okay.
I just think it's hard for them doing something this big as their first thing, and I don't know
if that's their fault. You know,
no.
They were put in that position. Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, I'd just love to know that. If any of us ever meet them, do report back.
Yeah. Yeah. How was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, girls, what were your final thoughts?
I still love it. As like, I'm going to call it a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
It's like going to be a Sunday afternoon fave between me and my mum, and yeah, I feel like all of the flaws are so valid, and I like agree with all of them, and yet still I'm just like, I don't mind.
Mm.
Which is nice, because like I can get over things that I don't like. That's a sign of maturing.
It really is. That is the definition of a guilty pleasure as well. Mm-hmm. That you can see past the flaws to enjoy the experience of watching it.
Yeah.
It's not one of mine, unfortunately, but I really enjoyed talking about it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I'm glad.
And just interrogating like the guilt that I feel for not loving it more than, you know,
than
I do. Mm. Yeah, than I want to, yeah.
Mm. One thing actually that after researching this made my heart smile was that Annette Bening and Jodie Foster have obviously both been in the industry for so long, but they've never had a chance to work together and until this, and they were both really, really excited to work together, and now they're really close friends. But I guess they've never had a chance to work together because all of their roles were usually with men, and or maybe with women of a different age, but probably men. And so I just thought that was really cool that they've had this chance to work together, and I hope that more of that does happen.
Yeah,
they're probably up against each other for similar roles.
Exactly.
Or the same role, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so rare to be in a thing with other girls and you're all playing friends. Like, I mean, it's not as rare now, but like you think about all of their biggest movies, like that is not the thread of them at all.
Mm.
Oh,
yeah.
Love that.
Really lovely.
Yeah. Nice one, Lowry.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Good pick.
Oh, I'm glad that you both agreed to it, because I wasn't sure that you were going to at first. Well, thank you all so much for listening or watching this week. Please let us know your thoughts on NIAD, because we want to know. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Frank Film Club. And also you can email us on filmclub@rap.world. Tell us your thoughts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And see us here again next week.
Next week, we're going to be watching The Zone of Interest, which at the time of recording is in the cinemas. Not sure it's going after that. But it's written and directed by Jonathan Glazer and takes place in Nazi Germany during World War II. going to be heavy chats. So go and watch that and then come back here next week and join us for more Frank Film Club.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.